Austin, why are you like this?
So I want everyone to like me. And sometimes I think that I'm like way too much and have way too loud of a personality for that to work out. I rely a lot on my ability to adapt to a situation in the moment without having any plans. And I have a lot of secondhand embarrassment, but absolutely no firsthand embarrassment. I think that's me in a nutshell. So why are you like this?
I'm like this because of GMOs. They came around. Seriously, GMOs came around in 1993 and they gave me ulcerative colitis.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why.
That is why you're like this.
But fuck all of that. Anyway, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
So we could say you're a numerologist, if you will. And that's addiction.
Like 4x dick. Like it's like four times as large as usual.
Like how does your navel get like that?
Right.
That's disgusting.
How though?
I wouldn't want to live in Amish country permanently, but I would visit as a booty call.
I was so distracted by the sexy mystery. Fuck.
It's totally fine. I said sexy mystery and you were like, this one time?
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached. I'm gonna peak in high school and then die.
Yay, welcome.
Yay! That looks like an after school program. I liked it. Oh my god.
We could be an after school special. We'd have to tweak it a little.
We would have to tone down a lot of profanity and sex talk. And what else about us is not for after school?
I don't know, but if teens are listening
pretty much everything.
After school, hi. Oh, but by the way, like, Why Are You Like This is a mostly weekly podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Where we get into some piece of the culture that we're super interested in.
Man, I was just ready to roll in deep tonight. And
also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Why Are You Like This? Hello, that's Austin
the
Williams
podcast.
In Chicago. Sorry. God, introduce the fucking show, Austin.
Oh, no.
Oh, you gotta
no.
stop that.
No.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome. The podcast where we sometimes reference Homeward Bound and don't know anything about dog breeds, but most of the time spend our moments, hours, years, other time periods spitting loosely about
you can't get distracted by me just because I'm physically here. I'm gonna do shit silently the whole time.
Oh man, listen, this is gonna be a real test.
That's Austin. That's Williams.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Ah, woo, after a montage of getting this really fucking wrong, let's hope we get it right this time.
God, maybe.
Also, Nigel, shut up, you don't interrupt me.
I know.
Okay, this is already going poorly. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
Best of episode.
Yes, fuck yeah.
Why Are You Like This is a weekly podcast, and we are coming at you in our season 2, season 3 interim to give you some of the highlights of our dissection of pop culture, whatever shit we're interested in at any given time, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams in Chicago.
And coming up next is a lot of us in those places, in other places, and at different times, I guess, right?
Over the span of a year. We've been doing 2 seasons, 6 months a season, so you're going to hear a montage of us from a roughly 12-month period. That sounds more boring than it is.
Well, listen, it does sound more boring than it is. But hopefully, we're now giving you the content you crave of some running jokes you hopefully picked up on.
I just know my anatomy and have good aim.
Quick aside, just while we're on the urine train.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing, but I wanted to ask you about this because it's something that happens to me periodically, and I'm not 100 on like why.
Okay.
But do you ever have a hard time peeing in like and getting it to all go in the toilet?
Like, are you saying you're peeing on the seat?
I mean, that happens sometimes because of like horrible urgency, but But like, yeah, if I'm like seated, sometimes my piss, like at high pressure, will come out from in between the seat and the bowl and like run down onto the floor.
Girl, how hard are you peeing?
That's never happened to you.
No, it's never happened to me. I don't want to make you feel weird, but no.
I used to think that my toilet was leaking, like a few apartments ago. This has been a long time affliction. I was like, oh my God, this fucking toilet leaks.
A few apartments ago? This has been going on for years. Shit. I don't understand how you are one of the most hydrated hoes that I know, but I still don't understand how you could pee that hard. But I'm not getting it totally right.
Okay.
I don't remember the words.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, some kind of jingle.
Could you, I need you to do it again.
Notes are like, it's like, da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, wait a minute. It's, hold on, that feels really familiar.
I'm convinced this is something you and I would sing to each other. I've been putting like different words in my own life just to this, that I'll be like, I need to go to the And I've been doing that all day. Or I'll be like, someone needs to wash the dishes. It's just like two notes that are really spike.
David's Bridal?
No. David's Bridal's YOLO.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But sing it like the one that you're trying to remember. Do it.
Okay. YOLO.
Wait, how does it...
You'll love David.
Yes! Like that.
What the fuck?
American Family Insurance? No.
No,
that's another
American
chill one.
Family Insurance. Yes. It kind of goes down.
That one could do it too, though. Do it.
American Family Insurance!
So, came across this little movie called Idle Hands, 1999 horror comedy featuring Jessica Alba and Seth Green.
What a pairing that seems so oddly unlikely now, but I know at that time probably seemed so rational.
Well, and I think I thought about that too. I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, wait, 99, early Jessica Alba, Seth Green's got a little bit of a career in like the kind of like stoner comedy.
He was the famous one at the time.
Exactly. And he's not even the main character. Anyway, good Jessica bless. Alba plays a girlfriend. Okay. So I have not watched it, but I did.
I thought the premise was that you'd seen it.
So I have not watched it, but for the purposes of this podcast, I have.
Let me tell you about a movie I've never seen.
I have heavily edited the Wikipedia summary to make more sense.
Listen, this is the truest example of what this podcast is, which is when we say equal parts conjecture and research, we mean it. And that, like, we maybe, like, research what the movie is and, like, have read some stuff, but, like...
But I need to tell it how it's going to work for the show, maybe not how it was.
And how was it? Because I don't know. I've never watched it.
All right, good. So here we are. The year is 1999. Main character... Yes, so the person is either a semi-violent sleepwalker, a person suffering from alien hand syndrome, or just a torso, but with no psychological or neurological issues.
Oh, God, Jamie. I feel like that's unkind to amputees everywhere.
No, I think they're the best choice. I'm like torso for the win over here.
Oh.
Maybe you're the one that's being mean to amputees.
Maybe I... Oh,
look at you preferring all four limbs.
So, I'm such a dick.
It's fine if you want to kill the torso. Kill the torso. It'd be super easy.
Oh my God. Jamie! This is so ugly. I feel bad about it, but like, maybe. I don't often... I'm getting a little... Like, I'm like a little... I think maybe I'm feeling uncomfortable about my choices because I find them maybe reprehensible. And you're like, I don't find anything problematic about this because I'm making the appropriate choices. God, fuck. I was like, this is an inappropriate question. And I'm like, no, maybe my answers are just inappropriate. Jesus.
No, none of your answers or feelings are wrong.
So then we cut to my absolute least favorite, most creepy family. It's Hannah's family.
I agree. Okay. Same page on this one.
We open on 11-year-old Hannah, who has attended 5 purity balls, reading us
a book. She's already been to 5. She's been going since she was 6.
Yeah. What the fuck? Everyone on the same page? Cool. So she's reading us a book called The Princess and the Kiss. Mm. It's essentially just a children's book about purity that she is too old for.
That is true.
God gave this gift to you on the day you were born, said the queen, because he loves you so dearly. And now, continued the king, this kiss is yours to keep or to give away. But use wisdom, my daughter, warned the king, and save your kiss for the man you will marry. Never part with it for the sake of...
Once I've found a man who I think I might want to get to know a little better, I'll take him to my dad for inspection.
Inspection.
Yeah.
Her dad will inspect him, and then she says... And then he'll spend a lot of time with my dad.
She does. She does say
and
that.
And then if he's an okay guy, after he spent a bunch of time with her dad, if her dad's cool with it...
Then they do the group date with the parents. Yes. So sometimes when we're doing the podcast, we find ourselves sort of tiptoeing towards things that are maybe too sexual for that particular episode.
Sometimes fully leaping towards it, just like with reckless abandon, like a child running across a soccer field.
There's a lot of energy for that topic, you know, so you have to constantly remind me that it's not a sex podcast. And I thank you for that, although I do find that sometimes it is a sex podcast.
Listen, this isn't a sex podcast, except when it is. Listen, this isn't a religious podcast, and it's not a sex podcast, except when it is. And that's all we're
going to say. Except that it's always kind of both those things in the background. It's the stage.
Yep. Yep.
It's like we never take those sets fully off the stage. I also, until we got to this one, was kind of assuming that these were areas that, like, people wanted, like, to be sexually stimulated, but now we're at digestive system, intestines, and spleen, so that's tough.
Yeah, well, it could be sexual, but it doesn't have to be. Listen, this isn't always a sex podcast, Jamie. Jesus. All around debauchery, being in parts of the boat you're not supposed to be in.
Think about, if you took a small city and floated it out onto the water, like, people are gonna keep fucking each other. Yeah.
Listen, this is not a sex podcast, but listen, and this is not a sex podcast. This is not a sex podcast. We, as a matter of fact, are talking about something that counteracts what we say sometimes, because we say this isn't a sex podcast, but sometimes it is.
Unless we go do it and then report back. What if we started following through on some of these Mary Fuck Kills? I just realized that we absolutely can't do that as it was coming out of my mouth.
Remember when people thought being blood brothers was a cool
thing? Oh my god, so fucking stupid.
They do that, Julia Roberts, in My Best Friend's Wedding. And I saw this movie as a younger child. There's this moment where the best friend, who's getting married to Cameron Diaz in her breakout role, you're welcome. And then Julia Roberts, she and this guy, are blood brothers because they, cut their fingers or whatever and, rub their blood together, years ago. And they kind of have this, remember when we did that? But there's this scene where they do that, and my mom turned to me and my sister, and she goes, girls, if anyone ever asks you to do that, she goes, you never say yes. You absolutely do not. My biggest takeaway from My Best Friend's Wedding is never agree to be a blood brother with someone.
Don't share fluids. Yeah.
Don't share fluids. And Wendy Williams came in on that hot.
Thank you, Wendy. So my friend, who was my coworker, went out for drinks after work, like you do. And because it was Los Angeles, we both were working in an area at a fucking restaurant that was 90 minutes from our homes.
Perfect.
So after work, she was like, I need a drink. Do you want to go with me? And I was like, yeah. We go to this little beach shack and we got a couple margaritas and a fucking basin of fried pickles.
God bless.
And she just fucking unloads, man. And I thought she was gonna bitch about work, but nah.
Oh.
She was telling me about her boyfriend that she had moved from like Oregon to Los Angeles with, and how like they were in a rent situation, you know, like just the regular stuff of like, I'm in a financial position with a former romantic partner.
Oh shit. That's really hard.
Totally. So I'm like, yes, anding her, like trying to be polite. And then somehow, and we were drinking, to be fair, it like segued into her telling me first about like how much she enjoyed doing meth. And then,
this is not where I thought this was going.
And I really didn't expect that, because she was a vocal performer. That's what she was doing in LA. So she was like, yeah, just like meth and chain smoking, and you just want to grind your teeth, and it's so amazing. And I was like, this is not what I expected. But in that same conversation, she was like, basically just like using me as a therapist, which happens sometimes. But in this case, it didn't feel as burdensome, because we were both like being new to Los Angeles, or being like new-ish and kind of like disillusioned in Los Angeles is a really specific feeling. And so I feel like we bonded. So we bonded over that, because she had come there. She had just finished like a music degree, and she was like trying to be a children's entertainer, which I mean, cool.
It sounds creepy, but
it's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Money and kids parties, man. Whatever you got.
She was working a lot of kids parties. And she was going to go to grad school for music, and then maybe going to like continue to like pursue like making children's albums or something. But then as soon as she started drinking, she was like, I don't want to do this. This is just like not what I thought, and was being like almost like a totally different person. And we talked for like 4 hours at that fucking bar, and then just like chain smoking on the hood of my car outside afterward. And she ultimately, I found out like months later, because I did still text her. So like I quit that job like a week later. And she and I continued to text a little bit, because I felt, whether this is right or not, I felt like some degree of interpersonal like responsibility toward her. Like I needed to like follow up a little bit, because, and I'm not a big like believer in fate. Usually, I don't know. I'm very 50-50, and we can dissect that, but
no, and that's real. And you and I know we're a little split on that, 'cause I think I'm a harder believer in fate. I believe in make your own fate, and like, you gotta like make things happen for yourself, but I subscribe more to fate than you do.
I agree with that.
But
this was a moment where I was like, all right, I'm in Los Angeles. Like, my life just fell apart. I got this bullshit serving job that was just for 4 weeks. Like, why the fuck did I do that? And then I was like, wait a minute. I had, like, this moment with Sylvia, and I reflected on it, and she continued to text me later. And so during that conversation, when we were like drinking the margaritas, eating the fried pickles, she was talking about going back to grad school and then becoming a children's musician. And she was like, I just really don't want to do it. She was like, I feel like there are these other things that would be better that I haven't really had an opportunity to give thought. And it's, you know, it's like it's a young 20 something kind of crisis.
And totally.
I feel like
what am I doing with my life?
Exactly. And so I feel like I was able to like validate her, but also like in a soft way, like make her question herself during that conversation. And at the end, she was like, oh, so I guess I really don't want to go to grad school. And I was like, if that's really how you feel, like that's important to like consider and own that. Like, if you really don't feel like that's right, don't do it. Like you can take 4, 6 months, whatever, and figure out what the right thing is. But don't just go to grad school and make yourself do it because it's the next thing. Like, if you feel like your whole life path is wrong. Anyway, she texted me like right after I quit, and she was like, hey, I heard you quit. Sorry to see you go, but like, so fun to meet you, like hang out, whatever. And then like 6 months later, she sent me a text, and I had wondered about it, but I didn't give it a ton of thought. But I was like, oh, I wonder what Sylvia's doing. And she sent me a text, and she was like, hey, like, I've moved on to this other thing, and it's like still very much in the works, but I've decided that like going to grad school is not the right thing now. And like, I'm just so glad that I met you. Even though we didn't obviously have an opportunity to become better friends, but like without that crazy circumstance, I might not have realized that. And that was just so like from a fate standpoint, like validating for me in a way that I've not had a lot of other experiences like that, where I was like, oh, this job and this time was a waste for me. But if I could provide somehow like this moment that made someone else figure out like a pivotal thing for their life, then maybe it was worth dreading the job that I had to go to. You know, like maybe I only worked there so that I could meet her and so that we could have that conversation.
I believe and subscribe to that kind of thing. And I think that's,
and I want to, but then like my head gets in it and I can't. I'm like, well, that was just, you know, circumstance as much as anything. And if you look at the, if you look at time from the perspective of the future, then everything is fate. But if you look at it from right now, then everything is chance. So who knows?
Yeah. No, I feel that. But I think it's interesting. It's cool to kind of hear that flip side of it too, because I think when diving in just on seasonal friendship in general, I, you know, thought about things that were like months or years in my life, and you were like, here's this friendship of some hours.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because it was 6 weeks, but, you know, it's only 3 days a week every 6 weeks, because we didn't, or 3 days a week for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because we didn't work together all the time. I hope she's okay.
Aw.
I do.
Rooting for her.
I do.
No, I love that.
I hope she doesn't do meth ever again. No one do meth ever again.
Just don't do meth.
Or heroin. Those are my ultimate PSAs.
Just, yeah.
No. Don't do meth. Don't do heroin. Don't do anything you're sexually uncomfortable with.
Jamie Ryan, 2042.
This is my platform.
This is your platform.
So to kick things off tonight, first I'm going to read you a little something. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. So that's from Revelation 13.
Oh my God. Wait, that's in the Bible?
Yeah. So, well, sort of. Not everybody's like down on Revelation.
I don't even know if I've ever actually read any of Revelations, because it's kind of like the current president in American history. Like when you're in middle school, like they don't want to get to that part in Sunday school. They're like, no, no.
Or if you go to a church that's like apocalyptic, they focus on that.
That's true.
Which was a little more of my revelations. It was revelation heavy when I was growing up.
Real quick, I just want to let you know, after you reading Revelations dramatically, I just lit some Palo Santo, because I'm like, listen, I'm not trying to like enter like the spirits in here.
I have a story from when I went to a camp with that church when I was 6. You were supposed to be, I think, 9 or 10 to go to the camp, but the pastor had recently like officiated my parents' wedding, and they were like buddy buddy with him. And they were,
so
like,
you were like 7.
I was gonna start first grade in the fall.
Okay, and then you're with a bunch of fourth graders.
Yes.
No.
I like, know.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say. Nah.
I know. So they say, okay. And I go, and I'm the youngest kid at the camp. But my friend went with me, which was good. But while I was there, so the first night, it was a Sunday night when we got there. And after dinner, we went to chapel. And there was a chapel.
As you do at a church camp.
As you do on Sunday night at a church camp. So we get into like groups with our cabin leaders, and there is the guy who runs the camp. Let's call him Tim for the sake of the story so I can reference him.
100%. Tim, I'm here for you, man. Yeah.
So Tim has a megaphone. He gets out
first
in front of
Timothy,
everybody.
If you will.
I will.
Thank you.
So Timothy gets on his megaphone and he's like, okay, guys, we're going out to the chapel. It's getting dark. We have to like go through the woods to get there. Just be sure to stay close to your cabin leaders. There are demons in the forest who will attempt to capture you.
What? No. No.
So I am like
shaking on this walk.
You're six. But even if you were 10, even if you were 16, even if I'm like, even if I'm in my 20s now and someone was like, we're walking through the forest, there are demons that will attempt to capture you. I'm like, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah. And there was this dissonance in me because I was being fed kind of contradictory ideas. Like I was told
terrifying.
I was told that like Jesus would protect me, but I was also told that like I was a bigger target because I was a because I was a believer. But then it almost felt like if I did get snatched by a demon, it was my fault because they can't touch Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit's in me, I shouldn't be able to get captured. So it's this weird catch-22 of like, they want you more because you're a believer, but if you get captured, it's your fault.
This is way too much stuff for a kid. This is way too much shit for me.
Worse. Oh my God, it gets so much worse.
Oh God.
So I'm
standing. Who the fuck says to a bunch of kids where I'm about to walk you through a dark woods where there are a bunch of demons who are going to try and snatch you, but like, you know, stay close to the counselor who's probably 15.
Yeah. You know, who says that is a crazy adult that wants to scare the shit out of a bunch of kids or wants them all to behave and not run away.
This is so fucked.
Or someone who really believes that and is fucked.
All of the above.
Probably some hybrid of all. So we walk through the forest and I'm staying, like, I just remember like grabbing like the hem of Tara, my counselor, just like, grabbing the hem of her shirt. And I feel like she was like 30 years old, but you're right. She's probably like 15.
Listen, if you were six, homegirl was probably like a senior in high school. Let's get fresh.
Yeah. So we get to the chapel and we sit down on these like wooden, bench seats, like long, like bleacher seats. And there it's in like a clearing in the woods. And there's like a wooden stage up at the front and it's all just like lit with tiki torches.
Okay.
And nobody has flashlights. Everybody's got torches.
When you're having like a church in the woods, when you're surrounded by demons, I assume you just listen.
This is marketing again.
Listen, real talk, tiki torches really need a rebrand.
You should get torches free when you buy like a long black or white robe.
Oh God. Not laughing. Jesus fucking Christ.
So the first thing we have to do before we can start the church service is Tim gets up there and announces to all of us that first we have to cleanse the area. And the way that we do
I assume not, but that's my jam.
What did you say?
I said, I assume not, but Palo Santo, sage wands, because that's
definitely
my personal
not, because jam. That's evil. That invites evil spirits. You should know that.
Listen, I'm going to go ahead and refer back devil. To how. Listen, I already said I was a Ouija board kid with black nails in middle school. So like, yeah, I'm here for it.
So in order to cleanse the area, we have to do this like rhythmic shout chant. And I wish so bad that I could remember what exactly the words were. But it was just like something along the lines of like, in the name of Jesus, like Satan be gone, in the name of Jesus, spirit.
So basically like the power of Christ compels you. And this is like the exorcist. Like, yeah,
seriously. Yes. So we all have to like scream that together in unison as loud as we can. And I didn't do it at first because I was scared. And I like looked up at the kids next to me and everyone is just like screaming it with
a
band.
God.
So I was like, oh, I guess I better do this.
Not trying to invite them demons and being with the one kid who's like not screaming with their whole being. Fuck.
Right. It's like that feeling of you didn't put your phone on airplane mode in the plane and you're like, God, if we go down, and then it comes to light that I didn't
and
have
I
phone
was
on
the
airplane
one
mode.
Who didn't have my phone on airplane mode.
I was
mode.
The one sucking the power from the plane.
That's not how that works. Yeah. And you know what? I'm sorry that there are so many women that are bosses who can give love endlessly and are doing a lot of emotional and social labor.
Through
and
their emotional hunger.
This isn't a feminist podcast, except this is a feminist podcast.
It's absolutely a feminist podcast. I'm getting like fired up about this.
Are you sweating? Because I'm sweating.
Listen, we've got a few select heroes across this podcast of ours, not limited to people who wrote weird quizzes, and we've got some enemies, people who tried to pick up women using deception. Amongst all of them, there's a portrait hanging of her in our collective, like, spiritual home, I would imagine.
There sure is.
And you know who it is. It's Mariska Hargitay.
It's Mariska.
Because she stays finding people in the woods.
Benson.
This is not a Law & Order SVU fan podcast, but this might be a Law & Order SVU fan podcast, and there's definitely an episode about that. I don't know if I have a clear-cut example of my first experience with, like, the idea or concept of swingers or swinging. Mm-hmm. But I will say, when I think about my pop culture experiences with it, as the syndicated crime drama correspondent of this podcast,
yeah,
absolutely, that's where my mind goes.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, an episode of Law & Order SVU, because there's a Law & Order SVU episode about this. Because in the opener of the episode, there's a guy who is found unconscious because he had, like, a violent assault where, like, someone stabbed him in the crotch. So then they're, like, doing the digging to be, like...
he's a special victim. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a special victim because it's a sexual nature, which is considered especially heinous. These are their stories.
Kung Kung.
I would be, like, a little wary just because, like... fetishes, I think, weird me out, and I think this comes from a true crime obsession and just, like, too many episodes of Law & Order SVU, mm-hmm. because some part of me is like, well, if you're really into feet, like, at some point, you, like, you know, might, like, cut off, like, a person's foot and, like, keep it under your bed in a box.
Right. No, totally. I was gonna ask.
Okay, but this is kind of like, we did a Mary Fuck Kill where one of the, like, options was somebody who had that mental, disorder or just, like, condition where people were, like, hypersexual when they were unconscious, which is, like, a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an eyebrow.
Fuck, I can't remember what it's called now, but it's literally people who are, like, just, like, actively so horny in their sleep.
Yeah, they're sleep fuckers. Like, instead of sleepwalking, they're fucking things. And we talked about this because there's an episode of Law & Order SVU where this happens, and then it's like, did he really rape this person? Did he not? Because
I've seen that episode.
Awake.
Yeah.
It's a great episode.
So the blind girl finally saw him.
And this redeems me for the times that I killed torsos. But on that note,
we're right even when we're wrong, but...
it's like an inbred dog.
Sure.
Or, I mean, breed dog, you know, a breed dog,
like a dog that's bred, like a purebred.
There it is.
Yeah.
I don't know dog stuff.
I'm not. I really don't know. I always try and be nice to people and be like, oh, like, what kind of dog is it? And people are like, oh my god, it's like an Australian Shepherd. And I'm just like,
I'm picturing any dog.
Like, could be any kind of dog. Like, I'm like, oh my god, that's so great. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck a dog breed is. Like, no. I don't know shit about shit.
Golden Retriever. I'm familiar with that.
I'm like, yeah, I've seen Homeward Bound. You get outside of that trifecta. I'm like, listen.
And one of those was a cat.
So. Well, exactly. One of those was a cat. One was a golden retriever, and then, like, there was some other kind of dog.
The middle one. It was Michael J. Fox.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
Oh.
So shaky.
Oh. I know Parkinson's.
I know. It's sad. I'm not making fun.
No.
I snotted. Noah's Ark.
Oh.
Gilgamesh.
Oh.
Ancient Aliens.
Ancient, like ancient aliens.
Like the History Channel show, Ancient Aliens.
I'm not familiar, but
it's a huge cultural movement. Like, Katy Perry wouldn't stop tweeting about it.
Oh, this feels really on brand for her. I'm here for
this. She also by herself brought back funfetti. Did you know that she did that?
Wait, what?
Yeah. They got rid of funfetti cake and icing. Yeah. And then she was, like, on Twitter being loud about it. And then, like,
people joined her.
Like, Duncan Hines, is that the company? Like
Duncan or Betty Crocker?
Whichever one.
One of those with the red label.
I think they, like, tweeted back at her and were like, do you really want this? And she was like, yes.
some kind of way like that. It was different, but you know what I mean.
They were like, do you really want this? And Katy Perry said, damn straight I did, been tweeting about it for weeks. Here's the great
thing. She got like people to like get loud about it, and they brought it back by popular demand.
The thing that makes me the most happy about this story is that there's not some like brand or sect of people that's reaching out to our president at any point and going, hey, do you really want this? Because like, we're not ready for that. But pop stars like chasing after Funfetti, absolutely ready for the advocate.
She got it done.
Like, girl. Yeah, so Katy Perry, Ancient Aliens. This feels great.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Katy Perry any more than we just did. That's like a wrap on her for tonight.
Listen, we'll see what we can do. I'll see if I can bring it back
Try
around.
To work it in.
I will. Totally.
Is it true that, like, do you know if, like, is, like, the pineapple jizz thing true?
Oh, like, when guys eat pineapple, it's supposed to make their cum taste good?
Right.
I mean, I don't know that more than it being, like, a weird colloquial, like, whatever.
No, so basically what I was asking is...
have I ever eaten cum after someone ate a shit ton of pineapple?
When you were sure that they really had...
I mean, not to my knowledge.
Okay, just curious.
I've never force-fed someone a pineapple and then made them come in my mouth, so I don't know.
I think it takes a minute, too, to, like, get through to the
I would assume you have to metabolize scrotum. That shit.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus, Lord. I mean, I
But
do.
Also, apparently, like, flip side of that for girls, like, being a vegetarian, apparently, is, like, what's up for... taste.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah. Who knows if that's real, but that's what...
Who knows? These that's are what some people, people say.
And the internet said it, too.
With well, you know. The internet says a lot of things, but I mean, I have heard the pineapple thing before.
Yeah, and the internet just showed me, like, a study on, like, the chemical composition of, like, the vaginal fluid that was not, mm-hmm. like, a ratings taste study.
Mm-hmm.
What if...
I mean, I just want to know...
How much would you have to get paid to do that study?
Okay, but who's the scientist who's, like, rating the tastes of, like...
No, you. How's that you done? You are rating the tastes.
Oh, like, you're just somebody who's, like, tasting other people's bodily fluids?
Like, instead of being the person who smells the t-shirts, like, you're tasting...
You're the fluid taster? Oh, yeah. Dude. Okay. I mean... First of all, there's not.
It'll
enough
only
money
be
in the
three.
World.
You only have but to like, taste three fluids, and they're totally tested. Like no one has a
say,
disease.
I was like, do
nothing's
we know,
gonna
like,
happen.
How,
it's in
no.
a lab.
I'm not
no?
doing it. No,
I would totally do it.
How really? Much money?
I feel like I do it for like $500.
Are you fucking kidding? Girl, I would
be like interesting.
Would it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, like, I, what I, in this scenario, I imagine the, like, the three people that I've passed in my day today whose cum I would want to taste the least, and then I assumed that it was on the spoon, and I went, there's not enough money in the land.
Oh, gross. I wasn't thinking it'd be, like, a spoonful.
I mean... the cotton swab that like what I
just like a couple drops just like a pipette
you're like I don't want utensils I don't want this to get too foodie yeah fair
no get the spoon out of here it makes it weird
I mean I was taking it to a dark place in
there's
my head
like a here comes the
like
airplane kind of deal that I don't like
yeah. I don't want to taste people's jizz or okay. cum or
what if it was like $10,000
I still feel like that's lowball.
Wow.
Who's participating in this study that's like, here, for like the $30, I like came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it. I'm like, who's that guy? Because those are the people participating in the studies. I'm like...
It also would be women.
Also, like, women. I'm like, who, like...
I don't know. Like, I would do that, too.
Yeah, it would be harder to get a clean sample from women, though. You'd have to find a bunch of women who could squirt or something, because otherwise you're getting a bunch of skin cells. I'm just saying.
I just was thinking about the gathering of that, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, squirting is, like, not necessarily... Like, it's not totally the same thing, so that's, like, not an accurate...
It's not.
Okay, anyway, enough about
anyway,
that.
Anyway, listen, pause. This is not a sex podcast. God. Jamie apparently will taste your cum for $500,
no,
so call her.
you talk about people who are like can't change their minds or close themselves off in circumstance, which I think is so effing real.
Mm-hmm.
But
we all do it also, but go ahead.
We all do it. We all do it in different ways.
Women. Yeah.
Women for
fuck. Won't ask for fuck. Ask for a raise. Go ask for a raise right now.
Go ask for more money, ladies. Like, ask.
Right now.
Ask for more money. Like, turn this podcast off. Stop listening to this podcast. Put this down and go ask for more money. Jesus.
Because you can have it. I have like plans for when I'm homeless in my head.
That's intense.
I know. And I know, like, I know it won't happen, but like, it feels, I don't know.
It feels
like,
possible.
It feels possible. It's like when I was a little kid and I like always thought that I would die before I graduated high school.
I didn't think
of my future. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, that's like maybe a whole other thing, but.
That's another episode. Jamie really thought she was going to die young. Like the whole time I knew her. And like.
I think it's maybe just like narcissistic as fuck. I don't know.
I would listen.
But only concept of peaking.
Die young.
I was like, I'm going to peak in high school and then die.
Fucked up, but so
I was
real.
Like chill about it.
I mean, like as someone who was there
and
for
just
this,
reckless,
just like, oh, so reckless, and just as someone who was there for this, like hold.
Oh my god!
Hold on. There's a
pause.
Alarm. I don't even know where it is. Okay, well, as we may have alluded to earlier, I burn a lot of sage. And,
it was a little too much.
I apparently set off a smoke detector, so, sorry for that comedic interruption. But, back to Jamie thinking she was gonna die as a child.
Oh, that's right.
Truly, I just want to say, as somebody who was there for the whole fucking thing, no, she really thought this.
I know, it feels like a weird thing to say as an adult, but I think about that sometimes, and I'm just like, what the fuck?
but I hadn't thought about the way you were about that in a long time.
She kind of surmised the general, like, intersexual competition and people's thoughts on it and just said, like, listen, a good amount of research has been done on female competitiveness. And she goes, both in condescending and eye-opening ways. And I was like, great. Perfect starting point. I was like, I'm very here for this, Emily. You're right. But basically, like, in short, when our values tied to people who can impregnate us, we turn on each other.
Mm.
I felt like you were going to tell me she was like a cam girl who just had like weird contortionist properties or something.
I mean, like it's half true.
Bestiality on YouTube.
Yes. Like, well, so I don't think it ever like happened. She's just talking about why she does it on YouTube. And so she made like multiple videos.
Well, she probably couldn't actually post like videos of herself having sex with a dog on YouTube.
No. And even these had been pulled. I had to watch them on like third party sites. But she like casually pulls out like this enormous dildo that's like shaped like a dog's penis, not like a human's penis, and like is casually holding it.
Okay, but like pause. First of all, someone has to pause, like PAWS, pun intended. What? Okay. I'm sorry. That was dumb. But okay. It felt really good to me. So pause. First of all, someone had to make this dildo that's like a dog dildo, but like
And it was huge. Sorry.
And maybe it was her. No, but like, okay.
This looked like it was purchased.
How does a dog penis look different than a regular penis? Like, is that a weird, not a regular human penis, sorry.
A dog penis does this thing called knotting.
Ew. I already don't like it.
I know. Basically what happens is like, it's like, so picture a penis. Now picture like halfway down, like as though like there was a part that could like swell up like a balloon, like just like in the middle of the, here comes a gross word, shaft.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay.
And so like when the dog is like fucking another dog or like, I guess also a human, it can't pull out until like after it comes and the swelling goes down. So it's like stuck in you. Yeah.
Talk about, like, how Homo sapiens, if you will, have sex for pleasure, but clearly dogs are only having sex to procreate. Because, like, you cannot stop.
Right. I have a friend who has a male and a female dog, and the female is not fixed. And when she's in heat, they have to, like, keep them on separate floors because they'll, like, find them, like, locked together by the genitals and, like, freaking out and trying to, like, get away from each other.
Oh, but they can't.
They can't. They've been, like, turned, like, cat-dog style, like, ass to ass before.
That's colorful. And you said you didn't know dog stuff. Sounds like you know plenty of dog stuff. And this is not a dog sex podcast, but...
What I'm, like, looking for in the relationships that I have and have, like, kind of, like, listed on this. But it's funny. So, I have a newfound value.
Yeah, you know, I've told other people about this, okay, and been listen. Like, it can be a value.
Listen... So my therapist a few weeks ago asked me what some of my values in life are, and we were kind of talking about like dating and relationships when this came up, and I just was like so like didn't know what to say. I was like, values? I don't think I understand the question.
But seriously, what are my, I can't think of a single word well, she to said, describe what my values are. Right. I don't know.
I was just so taken aback. And so instead of being like, I don't know what my values are, I was just like, I don't think I understand the question. So it's like, that's what you say sometimes. And then we like talk about some other shit and like some minutes of conversation go by and she just goes, well, I think humor's like pretty important to you. And I'm like, can humor be one of my values? And then I'm like, oh my God, I think it is.
It's like a whole new world.
Yeah. I feel such sweet freedom. It is, though.
It's one of mine. Yeah.
Humor See, but
thank you
a value.
For, thank you for opening my eyes to that. Because also...
We can thank my therapist. I didn't get there alone.
Thank you, whatever your name is. Great work. Great work. I'm like pointing at her. No one can see me. like she's here. I'm sorry. She's not here.
She's not here? That would be a so whole inappropriate. Another episode and so inappropriate.
That's a peek.
That's a peek.
That's a personal peek.
That's a personal peek.
For her and us.
Yeah, truly.
Oh my God, fuck, what was I gonna say? I just wanted to say thank you to her for opening my eyes to that also. Mm. Because like, yeah, in like a single person way, I'm like, what am I looking for? And I'm like, oh.
Laughing.
Laughing is super important.
Also, like, you need to be funny, but, like, you also need to think I'm funny. We just need to share a funny bone. Because my ego is, like, pretty important. Listen, my ego is fragile. You don't think I'm funny. You're fucking wrong because I'm hysterical.
You need, like, a third seat in the car for it.
Sorry. I mean, Jesus Christ.
It needs a car seat because it's a baby.
Excuse me, we gotta roll down the windows in this Suburban because our heads don't fit. Ooh, dangerous.
I don't need to trap a man.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't feel like a big... It's not as
and we can have
prevalent.
Jobs now. We don't have to like hope to marry a man that has a lot of money or be a domestic servant.
100%.
Or a prostitute.
And so those are the choices sometimes. Listen, Santa saved people from prostitution.
For real.
Shout out Saint Nick. But so if that's not like a sincere real concern, our competitiveness like amongst ourselves as women becomes something like a little bit more private but like also more understandable. Mm. So there's a third theory of like female competitiveness that she proposes. Mm-hmm. That we're not competing with other women, but ultimately we're competing with ourselves.
Yes, that's and how we the think conclusion that I came
of
to
ourselves
in reading or listening about this week.
Yeah. So I think for a lot of women, you look at other women and you see instead of a version of ourselves that's like better, prettier, smarter, or something else, we like don't see the other woman at all.
No. No, 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 no. We see like a mirror that's reflecting back everything that we're not.
100%.
And then in turn, maybe to feel better, we flip that and focus on everything that she's not, that maybe we're slightly better at, even if it's stuff that we don't give a shit about.
So speaking of his wife, then they show her in the kitchen with her friend. And so there's these two women who are cooking in the kitchen while the men are out at the barn. And they're like,
which I mean, is problematic, but carry on.
Yeah. So their husbands are out at the barn and they're joking that like, it'll be a long time, like, because they don't say it, but it's because they're literally out there fucking the animals. But then,
and it's like, this is like a group thing. Like these dudes are like having a sexual experience and their wives are like making dinner and like having like chatty gossip.
A lifestyle of bestiality.
Wow. Okay. I mean, they found a community though.
So let me run you through the conversation between these two women as they cook.
Okay.
They're also talking to the camera. And so one of them says, people ask, is it the same as with a man? Is it as good as with a man? And the other one says, no, better. And then the first woman says, well, depends on the dog, depends on the man. You know, a lot
Wait,
of human...
Go ahead. I need a brief interjection. I thought the men were fucking the horses. Are these women fucking the dogs?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay, keep going. Just needed some clarification on that. I thought like these were women who are just like, my husband fucks a horse, and I'm like oddly chill with it. No, they're on the same team. Okay, carry on.
So she says, well, depends on the dog, depends on the man. You know, a lot of human men just, they don't like foreplay. Dogs love foreplay. They love to have a good time. They love to have sex. And then the other woman says, should I add some mushrooms to the salad? And the first woman says, some in the sauce and some in the salad. End scene. So I want to tell you about something that like happened at my house. And it's, I don't know if it's like a good story, but I just like feel like I need to tell you. It happened like right before I called you today. Let me start with yesterday evening. Okay. My girlfriend and I were outside and we were about to get in the car and we saw like a little baby deer sleeping in the yard, like in the long grass.
Oh, I think I saw that on her Instagram story. It looked very cute.
It was so cute. And it was so like
full Bambi, like Disney
with the
moment.
Spots. It was fully
it
a Disney
did
moment.
Have the spots. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was like a beautiful thing. And I was like, yes, now like we get to watch this deer like grow up all summer because it'll probably like live nearby.
Oh my God, you're so cute. I can't wait to watch this deer grow just over the next months.
Yes, seriously.
Years, maybe even.
Maybe years. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell it apart from the others once it grew up.
You don't know. You don't know.
So then today we were looking out the window and we like saw that it had like moved to a different spot and we were like, oh, that's weird. Like, that doesn't seem like as safe a spot as like where he was sleeping before, he or she.
He or she. Thank you. I will.
But again, we were just like admiring it from afar and I was excited
and you're like,
to watch it grow.
I don't know deer stuff.
I don't
excited
know.
Excited to watch it grow. Like, I don't know deer stuff though. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we go outside and she was like, oh, I just want to like take a closer look at it. And so like we go up into the yard and she was like, oh, there are some flies on it. I feel like I should like wave them away. And I was like, oh, like maybe we shouldn't get too close. Like we don't want our smell to get on it. And we got a little closer and it was like
dead. Was it dead?
Like most definitely dead with like flies all over it. And it was like so much more upsetting than I expected it to be. And I was like having like a, just like an anxiety moment anyway. So then like when that happened, I was like, oh my God. And then I just like cried silently in the car for a little while.
I hit a rabbit with my car one time and immediately burst into tears.
Oh yeah. I hit a deer with my car once and cried.
And I couldn't brake quick enough because the person behind me was tailgating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sometimes there's nothing you can do.
I just started crying.
So maybe the worst part of this is the strange guilt that I now feel from like, bear with me because I feel that I may be partially responsible for the death of this deer.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow. All right.
So right before I called you for this podcast, I went out onto the front porch and there was just a dead bird lying on the ground. And I was like, that's like a lot of dead animals for just one day.
Yeah.
And and so I'm like, okay, is there like something going on? Is there like something in the air, like a power about the house? And then I remembered that like we've been treating the house for ants, and so we have like a whole bunch of those poison traps where the ants like take the poison back to their home and poison all the others.
I don't think a bird would get into that though.
But the birds eat the ants. And so I'm like, what if you ate a bunch
of
Don't they? Maybe they just eat worms. I was thinking that they ate small insects. Anyway, so my
like
current paranoia. Maybe not. Thank you. I hope not. Thank you for saying that.
Okay. I don't think deer eat ants either.
Neither do I. But I'm like, what if the baby like came down and like licked the trap because it was curious? I don't know. So I'm like paranoid now that we're like,
that we're like this did not
through the food chain, like killing all the wildlife in the area.
You didn't.
Okay, I hope not.
You didn't.
Thank
it's
you.
Not from ant traps. It's
I need
like
to believe that.
But that's the truth.
Okay,
you, I mean, you
need
to believe
need to
that
get rid of these
true.
Ants.
Yeah, I mean, no, you didn't kill a deer from an ant trap. Even if a deer ate like ant poison itself, it wouldn't kill it. Like,
I hope not.
It's like the dosage of that stuff is to like kill ants. Like, it's not going to take down a deer.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
It might get sick. It might barf, but I don't think it would die.
It was a baby.
okay, we can't know, but it's probably not because of me.
It's not the ant traps. It's like totally not the ant traps. It's not because of you.
All right. Well, thank you.
Pantsless is more like, that's just like that general teenage sort of homophobia thing of, right, like, oh, don't look at my dick, man.
Right.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah, thing that like most straight kids had.
Yeah. Is there a lot of like locker room dick tap?
Oh, that... yeah, in sports, okay, all the time.
Well, and also just like, I remember one time we were going back into the locker rooms after gym and like one of the guys, and I can't remember his name, came up to me and just like pretended to start like fucking me from behind. It was like shaming. Like it felt very,
yeah,
shaming.
No, I know, but for him to like think of, yeah, that. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
It was just like,
wow.
I just was like, why do I, like, what do I do now? Like, do I laugh?
It was such a weird,
like, do you
time.
Laugh? Do you cry? Do you like get mad? And yeah, like say like,
and but your,
like,
response is like weirdly revealing.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I just like internalized all of it.
Yeah, even though he did it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Exactly. No one's paying attention to like why they're doing it. It's more of like, oh, well, how are you going to react to this?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's like everyone saying that like in like gay sex that like the top is gayer than the bottom. Right. Or no, the bottom is, right, gayer, right, than, right, the, yeah, top. Sorry, is what they,
there's,
say.
There's a lot of bottom shaming.
Yeah, which is fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
But also,
so we've had a lot of fun researching various ridiculous things for seasons one and for seasons two. Seasons
and
two.
And season three coming at you. Seasons two.
Yes, but also season three coming at you.
So soon. We're so, so excited. But sometimes we stumble into other content when we're doing the show, right?
Always, always other content. And here's the thing about that. Sometimes it becomes a whole other episode. And season three, we're gearing up for a lot of whole other episodes. So let's take you down a path of when it truly was a whole other episode.
Casey Anthony, I am not allowed to say officially that she killed her daughter, but you make your own decision. But something,
I love that you say you're not allowed, like somehow you're like beholden to some sort of like legal agreement.
Well, America decided that she didn't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true. If you believe in the justice system, which if you believe in the justice system and it working successfully, that's a whole nother episode. But anyway.
Something else, yeah.
So those are three kinds of like aliens, extraterrestrials, or perhaps subterrestrials, depending on if you believe in Hollow Earth or not.
Well, that is another episode. Hollow Earthers. Also Flat Earthers. That's a whole nother
kind. Flat Earth is tough. That's a tough one.
Oh, God. Hollow Earth. Less tough? Question mark?
Less tough.
Okay. Scientific ethics, man. Medical ethics. That's a whole nother episode.
No, I think I've had past life dreams, but that is not, that's probably different.
That's a whole nother episode.
It truly is. It truly
Which
is.
Which seems to be the theme of this episode is that's a whole nother episode. It's a theme of this podcast.
God. But tonight there's been a lot. There.
Listen, Remember the Titans. It's in my top 10 movies, but probably top 5, along with other things you would be surprised by, but that's another episode. Yeah, it's a vessel for a baby, and that's also part of your worth, is being able to procreate. That's a whole nother conversation. It's a whole nother episode. Brad Pitt's psyche, which we know nothing about, is, I'm still sure, a whole nother episode.
Well, hopefully you've enjoyed this journey through seasons 1 and 2 of Why Are You Like This? And
a trip down memory lane, if you will.
Truly. Or a really, really long trailer if you've never listened to the show. So you're welcome for
that. If this is your first episode, God bless you.
I don't know. I've started podcasts on a clip episode. It gives me a nice sampling. Anyway.
Well, then hello, friends.
Hello, friends. please, please subscribe, rate, review. We love it.
Yes.
And if you want to get at us on the internet, you can do that as always. Where, Austin?
You can find us on Instagram at Why Are You Like This Pod. You can shoot us an email about whatever whole other episode you think we should be talking about at whyareyoulikethispod@gmail.com. And you can find us on Twitter, giving you the hot clip samplings, maybe perhaps like the textual version of this episode as they come out, at WAYLTTweets.
Take these tablets.
Take these tablets, man.